Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Hey, y'all, Tuck Carlson here, introducing my new video series, Tuck Carlson's How to Be a Warbird Pilot. I don't care what you fly. Warbird pilots are the coolest, and I can teach you how to be one. Best part is, you don't even need a plane. Hell, you don't even need to know what a warbird is just by my video. Inside, you'll learn all the important stuff, like how to fit a flight suit around a beer belly, and why that beer belly is a safety feature. How to ignore small children at air shows. Ain't got time for that. How to grow your ego and sign unreadable autographs. Plus, you'll learn why freedom's the greatest answer to any question. Hey, Tuck, why do you fly these awesome airplanes? For freedom? Or when your wife finds out how much you've spent? Damn it, Tuck. Why'd you spend $6,000 on Avgas? For freedom. So for freedom's sake, buy my video. Before long, people be thinking you're somebody. You'll be sitting around campfires with real women, signing autographs, and petting pretty little baby bald eagles that you grew in redwood trees that you planted beside your hangar. Be awesome, love freedom, and get your copy of Tuck Carlson's How to Be a Warbird Pilot right now. Hey, y'all, hurry, and I'll toss in a special bonus pack. Tuck Carlson's How to Look Good in Short Shorts Late at Night and in the Pilot Briefing. Trust me, short shorts are the coolest things ever. Call now!
Supporting peace the old-fashioned way. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
You're on the air with Air Raid Radio with host Amy Wrongway Loria
and the Liberator, Kara White. Our show features women in aviation, including those that have made history and those who are currently making shockwaves of their own.
Every month, we will hail a badass lady who is just too remarkable to ignore.
Hold on to your hat. Here comes Air Raid Radio.
You've been warned. Our show is sponsored by Hemlock Films and Spotlight Business Solutions. Welcome to our first show of January 2017. We're really excited for a new year. Kara, did you have a good new year?
I did. I'm very excited to be back on the air and actually get some more episodes out of our show this year.
Yeah.
So how was your New Year's?
It was really good. We ended up just sticking close to home, but we're really excited about the schedule for our B-25, Miss Mitchell.
Awesome.
It's the 75th anniversary of the Doolittle Raid. So we're taking Miss Mitchell on the road this year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. We're going to go to the Doolittle Raiders reunion in Dayton, Ohio.
Which is kind
April.
Of my backyard. We're about three hours from there, but we're close enough. So we'll be there. We'll be meeting you there.
I hope so. and then we're going to head down south, do a little bit of a tour stop through Atlanta, Georgia, and then kind of go up the East Coast a little bit. And then we're going to head to Oshkosh because they're going to do a big bomber, like B-25, Doolittle Raiders thing there too. So we're pretty excited.
That's awesome. All right, how long's the tour last this summer?
Well, it's kind of, we're going to go out for about a month, and then come back to home base. And then we're going to go out again for about another month and then come back to home base. So, it's going to be a lot of traveling this year.
Do you guys normally do a lot of those travel, like tours like that?
You know, we do, it's been a couple of years with the, sequestration and just kind of getting back into the swing of things. So we're really excited to be kicking off the year, right?
Awesome. I'm excited to see her back in the air. She's one of my favorites. Not just because she's from your wing, but I like her.
she's a pretty cool airplane. So yeah. You've got some exciting stuff going on too.
We're my husband Adam and I with Hemlock Films are continuing our work on the WASP project, but also along with the CAF. Their new project that they're doing that we did one for them 6 years ago about the Tuskegee Airmen, and it's a traveling exhibit that's it's called Rise Above, and it travels the country. And the point is that it inspires kids to rise above adversity. And after years and years of me going, I really, really, really want to do one about the WASP, they finally said, okay, let's do that. So I'm super, super, super excited about it. they're my heroes. And I was just actually rewatching a lot of the interviews that we had gathered this year. We interviewed 10 WASPs and around the country. We did California, Salt Lake City, Florida, and New York, and Ohio, and Indiana. So, in Pittsburgh, or Pennsylvania.
So are there a couple more?
That's it. There's more, but we haven't gotten a chance to interview them, and I'm hoping that we get the chance to. But right now, we have to stop doing our interviews, and right now, we're concentrating on the script writing. So it's on to the next phase of things, and I cannot wait until this project to keep working on this project. And when it's done, and it's going to tour the country and inspire more kids and especially little girls. And I hope that it does amazing. And I will to no end, I will promote this project because I think it's very near and dear to my heart. And I love the idea of getting more girls into STEM. So,
I'm so excited to see it come to fruition too. Yeah. So excited.
It's going to be really, really fun. It's going to be really fun. Cause we're going to do some reenactment scenes. So we're going to get some, actresses to dress up like WASPs and, with the CAF airplanes, we're going to do some flying and,
very cool.
It's exciting to get to actually be able to direct some narrative cause we are normally, very documentary based, in our own projects. So I'm excited to get started on narrative. But anyhow, so that kind of leads us into, we have our guest today is, Kelly Garvin, who's a wing walker, who's awesome. Before we bring her on, Amy, do you want to talk a little bit? We'll just talk a little bit about the history of wing walking and our badass of the month.
Yeah. So, for those of you who don't know the history of wing walking, there's some good articles. Actually, I should say some really great articles out there. One that we kind of pulled some information for tonight's show was just the Wikipedia page. But wing walking has been around for a very long time. The very first wing walking experience was in 1911 in England on a biplane. And you can go to the we'll post a link for it on our Facebook page, but you can go and check it out. The first wing walking performer performed daring stunts was 26-year-old Ormer Locklear. Legend has it that he first climbed out onto the lower wings during his pilot training in the Army Air Service during World War I. He climbed out of the cockpit onto the wings in flight whenever there was a mechanical issue to fix the problem. Now, I'm not sure if his intention was to start wing walking, but apparently he started something something good. which leads us to our badass of the month, Ethel Dare, who was the first recognized woman to change planes in air. She was a flying trapeze, I believe, with Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Awesome.
She had various titles, including the Flying Witch, Queen of the Air, and the 1920 Aerial Sensation. So I guess she really paved the way, but maybe Kelly knows a little bit more about her than
than you. Yeah, and speaking of Badass of the Month, I guess that's a good intro to bring Kelly on. So our guest for this show is Kelly Garvin with Third Strike Wing Walking. Hi, Kelly. Are you there?
Hey, I am.
Good, it works.
So I don't know if I can live it up to the intro of Badass of the Month. Like, that's setting the bar awfully high.
I think you could do it.
Yeah. I think just the nature of getting out of an airplane in the air and walking on a wing qualifies as a badass. So.
Yeah. Do you know anything about Ethel Dare, the first female wing walker?
I don't know a ton about her. I do know I was really happy to hear you mention about Locklear and his career in the Army Air Corps, because a lot of the military units don't know that wing walking was actually officially started there as a military thing. The guys were daring each other and they went out onto the wings just to see if they could do it.
I had no idea.
And in fact, it was mostly men that started with the wing walking.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so bringing that up, because wing walking tends to be more female centered. Is there, do you know, is there a reason why that is?
I don't.
I was trying to look that up before we did our show. I was trying to do the research on that and I could not, I didn't have enough time and I couldn't find anything right away. So,
I don't actually know the evolution of why it has become a more female dominated profession in recent years, but it used to be primarily male. In fact, Charles Lindbergh was a wing walker. He got started that way. Yeah, absolutely.
I did not know that.
Well, it's kind of interesting that it's one of the only professions where, especially aviation related, that it's female dominated.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which yeah, that's cool. True. That's a good point. Mm-hmm.
Go girls. Go women.
So how did you get started doing wing walking, Kelly?
I wanted to do this since I was a little kid. But actually getting started, you basically have to bug people until someone finally takes you on to mentor you and teach you, because it's not something you want to like try to pick up on your own. So I started 7 years ago. And you just, as far as getting started, once they take you on, you start on the ground and you go through the routine over and over and over ad nauseum. So you can basically do it with your eyes closed. It's all just muscle memory. Because you want to make sure you have that down pat before you then get the prop blast and the high speeds. So,
I bet.
It was something I wanted to do since I was young.
And so, where did that come from? Where did you see wing walking at?
There was a documentary I saw on. I was watching a documentary on the Spearman, and I was, I want to say it was second grade. I am still tremendously shy, but especially when I was young, I was just, talking was very difficult to anyone. But I was obsessed with aviation and I absolutely adored the Stearman. And I was watching a documentary on the Stearman and they had this little tiny section on wing walkers. And I was like, oh my gosh, they are brave. I want to be brave like that when I grow up. And like, I said, it is a goal. I'm like, hey, if I can do that, I can probably talk to people. That would be awesome. So every air show I went to, I would tell people, like, I'm going to wing walk someday. And people were like, sure, you will, kid.
Sure.
Right. That's awesome.
And now you do. So you said when you would practice on the ground, does that mean, like, you would actually practice on the airplane on the ground?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you crawl
over. Because you want to make sure that, like, you know, you just need to have the muscle memory down. You don't want... Your brain kind of goes into a very simplistic mode once you're up in the air. It becomes very, you become highly focused whether you want to be or not. And you want your muscles to already know where your next handle. I mean, you're constantly scanning to look for it in case of any emergency, but you should already know where your handles are and you should be able to go through it on the ground completely with your eyes closed. You shouldn't have to look to see where those initial hand placements are.
Well, yeah, I get every second is something that you want to have down pat, because if you misplace anything, you could potentially get really hurt.
Yeah, well, and your attention once you're in the air has to then be on communicating with your team and looking for any auxiliary handholds if anything goes wrong. So you always want to have those 3 points of contact. It's just like rock climbing. Minimum of 3 points of contact, just for safety. But
wow, that's crazy. So, are the airplanes fortified, like where you stand, or because I know some of the airplanes at the hangars, you know, like one wrong move and you can, you know, step right through the fabric.
You absolutely could. In fact, if you look at pictures when we're in between the wings, our feet have to be there on the leading edge. That's where we can stand. Just that little tiny leading edge.
Wow.
And that's about it. And then there's a wing walk once we're right there near the cockpit. But no, we have to be very cautious of where we can put our feet.
Wow.
And once we're up top, there's that section that's metal. So that's the easier place to be. Mm-hmm. But those side wings are very tricky. Any picture you see, you'll see we're on tiptoes at all times. They're on the side wings and only on the leading edge.
Wow.
Wow.
How long did you have to practice on the ground before you were allowed to go up?
Less than a day.
Oh, wow.
But you don't start mm-hmm. on the side wings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, as much as the audience doesn't appreciate those side wings, they are the trickier portion. the audience loves once we're up top, it looks scarier. It is far easier.
Sure. Yeah, is that, really? I'm getting my cat is crawling around me right now, and my husband's taking a picture of me. Totally just distracted.
And he wants to be part of the show, too.
So
I feel like that needs to be now attached with the show. The picture.
Yeah, that's true. We'll post that. So when you're doing the wing walking, is there at any point that you're actually, like, when are you actually harnessed onto the plane, and when do you not have any connection?
Well, we never don't have any connection.
Okay.
Carol and I are very strict about using a tether, and we are tethered 100% of the time. I hope I never have to test that tether, but it is, we never have a point that we're not at some point connected to that aircraft. As far as actually clamped to an object by my waist, a very short period at the very end of our dual routine, and that's it. Because what we're doing up there is constantly moving with the dual routine. That's what we wanted to bring to the audience, because what they don't get to see with most wing walking routines is the movement of the wing walker. The aircraft's normally turning up and away from the crowd when the wing walker's moving, and the crowd doesn't get to see that. We're doing the opposite, and we are constantly moving. We're like ants up there, just constantly moving around. The audience has loved seeing the movement. Mm-hmm. And it's only at the very, very end when we go up for a loop that I have any, like, direct close attachment to the aircraft other than that tether. Mm-hmm. But, no, it's just a basic safety concern. So neither one of us has the right to just fall off that aircraft and traumatize audiences. So we take tether very, very, that's not why we're, we take that safety very, very seriously. And I know there's controversy about, the tether takes something away from, no, it doesn't.
No, you're still climbing on the outside of a plane.
Yeah. I think that little string is just acceptable.
Right. Yeah. Wouldn't you want to be safe? I mean,
no, absolutely.
Seems like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah. Well, and Carol's been wing walking for, gosh, I want to say 17 years, maybe 18. I want to shortchange her on the years. A long time. And she is the only female that's ever wing walked on a jet aircraft. She used to wing walk on a jet Waco.
Seriously?
She is a guru when it comes to the ins and outs of wing walking. Her training has been just bar none. I've been blown away. And she explains always the safety elements and the reason you're doing for every single handhold, for everywhere I move on that aircraft. She has explained to me, you do this, but you do it because of this. And that sticks in your head better than just like, oh, yeah, you do this, move on.
With anything that you're learning, knowing why you're doing it definitely helps you remember it.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
No, but she takes the safety very seriously, as do I. So.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that you guys do a dual routine. Do you also do a routine by yourself, or is it always kind
we
of something together?
We also offer the solo act. Yeah, no, we also offer the solo act.
Which one do you prefer? Do you like doing the solo act, or do you like doing something with a partner?
The solo act itself is exciting because there's a lot more aerobatics involved. Obviously, two wing walkers on the aircraft is going to create a lot of drag. But I love the dual because it adds just that extra element, and the crowd has gone nuts for it. Honestly, we landed in Los Angeles, and the crowd was like, cheering, girl power, girl. And I was not expecting that in the slightest. Like, that wasn't how we were marketing it. That wasn't anything we put out there. But they really latched onto it. I loved it.
That's awesome. Amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
So how did you meet your, I'm sorry, and I met her at ICAST too, and I'm terrible with names unless I see them in writing.
Right, so I am the same way. Super visual.
How did you meet Carol?
I met her at ICAST.
You did?
Ago. Yeah. I want to say it was back in 2009.
Okay.
when I was there with the Yellow Rose Club and the B-25. And
B-25.
We became friends, and I bugged her a lot, constantly.
You're just like, hey, I want to do this with you. Hey, will you take me under your wing? No pun intended.
Yeah, well, remember me, right? No, nice. Yep.
And then she finally just said, yeah, absolutely. Come and try this out, or?
Yeah, she decided she wanted to do a dual act. And I knew that a lot of people wanted to be where I am now as far as, like, there was competition. But I am thankful that she picked me. I think she also selected me because I work on aircraft. So, you know, we take the airplane apart, put it back together. So we get to be, we truck the airplane in with the wings off in a trailer, put it together before the air show. And then we take it apart at the end, put it back in the trailer. So I think the fact that I know how to work on airplanes helped my cause.
Yeah.
But,
not to get off the subject of wing walking, but when did you start volunteering with the Yellow Rose Squadron?
Almost 10 years ago.
Okay.
They've been putting up with me for a long time. In fact, I got linked up with them. You were talking about the Doolittle Ray reunion, the 75th this year, and I got linked up with them at the 65th annual Doolittle Ray reunion, which was in San Antonio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's how I got kind of hooked in with that squadron. And I adore them.
They're a great group of guys.
Yeah. Well, in fact, now there's ground school coming up very soon, right? Up at your
school. Here. Yep, yeah.
Right, that everybody's going to.
And it's going to be really, really cold. I just want everybody to know that right now. I'm not quite sure when they were like, we're coming up to Minnesota. I'm like, in January?
Really? What I
you guys want to think this through a little bit?
I was like, do they know it's 78 degrees down here right now?
Because it's 8 degrees here.
Okay, so it'll add that extra element of adventure.
Exactly. We won't be outside. We'll be in the hangar. And it is heated, so it'll be fine.
Oh, nice. That's very luxurious.
Yeah, it is. It's right, Kara. It's super fancy.
It's super fancy, and it does get cold in there.
It gets very cold.
But you guys do have a nice little Oak Club upstairs now, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll take the class up there because it's closer to the heaters in the ceiling.
There you go.
It'll be better. Wow. So, Kelly, you don't do wing walking like full time yet. What do you do for a day job?
I am a math teacher, which is way more dangerous. Not kidding. Totally kidding.
Depends on where you teach.
Right. I teach 7th and 8th grade math.
That could be more dangerous.
And I'm actually a math interventionist. So basically I teach at-risk kids and try to bring them back in and let them know, like, if they're struggling with math, they're struggling, and I help them see that they're actually still very capable and kind of make it a little just easier. My whole job is to help them experience success with math because most of my students have shut down in math a long time ago. So I'm actually in an extra math class, and I'm designed to help them kind of believe in themselves and want to get back in math because math, it's not going away. Like, all use it. I know everybody's like, I never use math, but we do.
I have to use fractions all the time.
Yeah, me and they hate fractions. I was actually giving my 7th graders a lecture today on fractions, and that they're not going away.
Yeah,
so, no, they are not. I've tried really hard.
Yeah. I had remarked we were talking about that yesterday, doing our pre-interview notes and stuff, Amy and I was like, oh, she's kind of like Indiana Jones. Like she's a teacher and then she goes off and has these adventures all summer and then comes back. Like, that's pretty rad.
Well, my students, most of them have never been to an air show. A few of them this year have, but at the very beginning of the year, showed them a video of me wing walking. And I'm like, this is why. See, Miss Garvin's a little crazy. You want to
don't mess with me. Don't try my patience.
Yeah. Do you ever like incorporate your wing walking into your classwork where you're like, here's a problem. Like when the train's going this fast, but you're like, if the wing walker's going this fast, do you have more problems like
far
that?
More often above it. I've never done a word problem with the wing walking. Yeah. I have brought in like my nerdy interests, like with Star Wars and stuff. I had them find the volume of R2-D2 one time. And I do a lot with aviation. I incorporate that.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
You'll have to do
it's just fractions and mechanics stuff. That is, yeah. I mean, a great wrench you pick up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very true. I know when I first started volunteering down at the museum in South St. Paul, somebody would ask me to grab some type of wrench, like, you know, a metric size. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. you really have to pay. You have to know your stuff. You have to pay attention.
Yeah.
And you were apparently, I instead started, I mean, the metric sizes I knew, but when I first started, I didn't know like the technical names for tools. So I just started making stuff up and then like telling people, hey, go get me like snips. Or something like, what are snips? Dykes, there. That's what I was talking about. But I just kept it up. Like, I refused to use the new name because I was like, well, I'm going to train you guys with these new names. This is going to work. It didn't work.
I can see that.
It did not.
There anything like the guys at the wing up here? It definitely did not.
Yeah. Nope. But they didn't make me just sweep, which is actually what I was anticipating doing. And I would have been thrilled to still just be sweeping all the time. But they right away brought me in and put me to work.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because they're nice. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean...
Oh, I went in. I was terrified.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Coming into a new space like that and not knowing anything or anybody.
For me, it was multiple levels of, oh my gosh, this is actually terrifying for me. A shy person to walk in mm-hmm. and be the only chick in there, that was mm-hmm. multiple levels of, do I really want to be doing this? But, yeah. I mean, it couldn't have gone better. They were very nice and put me to work right away.
Oh, that's good, because you always hear about, well, you don't always hear, but it's very common that airplane hangars are very boys clubbish. So it's nice to hear, and I know Amy's wing is also very good with that, the CIF wing there. Of welcoming ladies in as well and not discouraging that. So that's
probably like 10 ladies now.
Yeah. No, in fact, I've been pretty active about trying to dispel a lot of the myths that are out there. Mm-hmm. There are, you know, the myths that it's an old boys club. It has never once been my experience with the organization as
awesome.
A whole. And I've done it multiple squadrons. Mm-hmm. I can't speak highly enough for how welcoming they are, and they'll put you to work right away. They volunteers are welcome. It doesn't matter.
Awesome. When did you start doing that?
About 10 years ago, but I was raised in I'm an Air Force brat, so I've always been around airplanes. My grandfather was a fighter pilot who liked his stories in the Smithsonian Museum. Like,
wow.
And he actually always told me, you don't fly anything you don't know how to work on. I think it's really important. It only makes sense, but so many people
absolutely.
Don't. You either fly or you work on airplanes. You don't do both, mm-hmm. and it's kind of important to know what's going on inside your airplane. I would want to be able to check the work of someone else, do an annual, maybe mm-hmm. take a look, see, mm-hmm. make sure everything's hooked back up right, make sure everything's in order. You don't have to know the integral details of everything, but a quick mm-hmm. gloss, it seems important to me. I think my grandfather was right on that. So.
Yeah. I think it's really
oddly
important.
Oddly enough,
too.
I'm not the authority on the matter, but.
I enjoy knowing what's going on with it too, even just as I've been taking my pilot's lessons, kind of understanding the inner workings of how the plane actually flies helps me to understand like, okay, when this happens in the air, this
right.
is why.
No, exactly.
so it's less terrifying when you understand the mechanics behind it.
Right.
Yeah.
At least for me.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
No, I agree completely.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody... that's part of the reason they teach you that stuff is so you don't get up there and panic.
Right. Well, and
they do teach the basics, like in ground school. Like,
mm-hmm. Right.
I remember like my second day of ground school, I want to say, when they were talking about the magnetos and like, I was the only girl in ground school and all the guys were like, yeah, I know. And I was like, that's the next man, right? And nobody laughed. And I'm like, okay, so that's where I stopped making stupid jokes, right? I mean, I was kidding, but they didn't get that I was kidding. Yeah,
maybe they didn't understand your reference.
That's what I made up.
I feel that happens to me a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. My, cause I'm also learning how to fly, and my instructor, I think I threw out, a Bull Durham reference, and he just stared at me, and I was like, okay.
Right. And you're not sure if it's just to make you shut up or if they didn't get it, and right. or both. So
it's
it
like,
works.
Stop talking to me.
Chastise yourself for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Well, and in fact, my instructor was a very kind, like, he is a very kind man. He's a former F4 guy, so I picked him because I was like, well, I can't scare this man. I F4 guys are tough. I can't scare him. So, and he is. He's wonderful. In fact, one time I had a rough landing, and he took me out for ice cream because I hate letting people see me be bad at
yeah.
things. And with, you know, you can't avoid it. With mm-hmm. everything else in my life up to that point, like, I'm... Yeah, to really reinforce the shy part, I don't like people like seeing me mess up. And so I would, like,
yes.
tennis or anything, I would go and practice by myself and practice until I was good enough to, like, let people see me do anything. And with, you know, flying, you can't really do that.
Right.
yeah.
Your instructor's going to see you kind of stink mm-hmm. at things for a little while.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes for a long while.
Yeah, I've been having a hard time getting over that lately where I'm like, oh, yeah. please stop watching me just suck out loud at this.
Right? No, there's just no escape.
Yeah. And he's like, I've told you this 100 times. And I'm like, I know, you have to keep telling me, please. Just keep saying it over and over again, because I'm going to keep messing it up.
Well, and that's why it's so important to get that symbiotic relationship with your mm-hmm. flight instructor, someone that you can really work well with and trust. You know you well enough to bring you out for ice cream afterwards because they know how hard you're being on yourself after
right.
you mess something up. Like,
and they know your learning style too, you know, because I think that's
exactly.
really important. Because
mm-hmm.
if you have somebody that can't teach you the way that you need to learn, it's so difficult.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
When I think we probably just lose a ton of student pilots to the fact that they assume every instructor is going to be very similar. And so they stay with someone that they're not working well with.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I think it's important that they know, hey, you know, pick somebody else. They're not going to get their feelings hurt. They're going to understand. There are tons of flight students and find somebody that works well with you so that you don't get discouraged. They don't get discouraged. Like,
right.
Yeah.
I think the people think it's the style is going to be the same, but it varies a lot.
Yes.
So it's mm-hmm. really important to find somebody that works well with your individual style.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I've had a couple instructors just because it's taken me so long that my instructors eventually quit. So I keep getting passed to another instructor.
Quit on you or just like quit aviation altogether because of, no, I'm kidding.
I know, it does sound like it's like they're just like, I'm done.
That's it.
No, they get another job, so they are done. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, all right, I have to find somebody new. So it's kind of interesting to see the different styles. And I'm hoping that I can, just through all of our work in aviation, we know so many people who have so much experience, and they're also CFIs. So I'm trying to, like, work it so I can, you know, travel somewhere and hang out with somebody for, like, a week, and then they can teach me a lot of stuff. So
that would be really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, like I said, I've had a range of people take me up, and so like I've had, like, the last time I had a 22-year-old kid take me up, and I was like,
no,
not what I need.
I was like, you're so young.
Oh wow! So Kelly, you have your pilot's license too?
No, I do not.
But you're
working very slow. Yeah, I am exactly the same as y'all. It's just like, as a teacher, I'm flush with money. Oh, wait. No, I'm not.
Absolutely.
So paying for it has been a very slow process. But it is, it's starting to be more and more of a priority for me.
Yeah.
Even if I just fall back and do the sport pilot license just for a little while to, like, tide me over so that I can just, mm-hmm. there's so many days, like, it's like today, it was a beautiful, granted I was working, but it was a beautiful day out, and it would have been awesome to be able to just go fly.
Yeah.
So it's becoming more of a forefront item for me. Till now, I've just really enjoyed working on the airplanes and, of course, wing walking. And I've been sated by that. And then my, you know, when I go up with Colonel Brown and go fly for a little while, but yeah, I need to prioritize it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely. It's just, it's hard. And like Amy and I are both in, Mamie's in Minnesota and I'm in Ohio. So we have the winter to contend with. So
Once, I haven't been able to fly for like a month and a half because it's either been snowing, so windy, or it's below, you know, below the temperature that you want to go flying.
Yeah.
At.
I think,
I would. Or move out of your house from in front of the fireplace at.
Right.
Yeah. I think the last time I went was a couple weeks ago, and it was once we got up and go, like, we had to bring the plane into the hangar so it de-iced. And then we finally got up, and you can feel the air come in through the door just a little, and it hits my hip. And I was like, my hip hurts so bad.
You're like, nope.
And I can't, like, I have, like, my scarf on, and, like, I'm all, like, and my headsets keep hitting it, and I'm like, ah, and I'm just, like, fighting with it. And I'm like, hold on, like, take the control so I can take all this stuff off of me. It's making me nuts. So winter is not exactly the most fun time to go flying here for us, but.
See, and that's a legit excuse. Down here, I don't have that. It's, there is no winter, just ever.
That's nice. Sound bad. I'm like, can we come down there and stay with you?
Yeah. Come on down. My house is always a welcome. But, you know, when you're not used to it, I mean, I'm not from here, and I kind of miss snow and seasons. But
I do like the seasons. I have to, I have to say that, but I could do without the extreme cold.
And I have been reminded that I have no clue what winter up north is like as an adult. I was a kid with no actual responsibilities, like, you know, getting to work and stuff. So
But you had snow days. The snow,
but it wasn't like pressing.
So, one of the things that I didn't get a chance to, I mean, we're kind of bouncing all over this interview, but, when we were talking about, when we were talking about wing walking, I have another question too that I just thought of. So since it's warm down there all the time, but you're teaching, do you go up in the, like, now, are you practicing your routine?
So we actually have spring training coming up in a month.
Oh, okay.
So we will be starting that up around then. For the warbirds, we fly, you know, year round. Right now, most of them are down for annual. We're annualing most of them, but in Texas, air show season starts in February.
Wow.
So right close.
Ah, that's cool.
What's the first one that you guys have lined up?
Laredo. I want to say Laredo.
Okay.
I think that's that first week of February, if not the second. As far as wing walking, I think that our first one this year is Yuma, and I'm super looking forward to that one, because in addition to us, they have also the record-breaking wall of fire again this year.
Cool.
Oh.
That's always
over 3 miles.
What?
It's incredible.
Wow.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
Yeah. We did on our show, The Restorers, we did an episode with Tora, and, we brought our film people with us who are not aviation people. And the first time the wall of flames came up, they were like, oh my God. Because one of the gals who's our camera assistant was right. Like, we threw her out there to get a shot of it. And she was like, holy cats. Yeah.
My face is on fire.
I was like, were you close enough? And she's like, oh, I'm so hot.
Well, and I guess a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, I also work with the Blasters. I'm part of that squadron.
Oh, you do?
Yes, and the pyro is so much fun. You get the best seat in the house out there. And now, I've never been responsible for the wall of fire, because that's upper echelon type stuff. The lower level stuff I've done is, it's great. In fact, some of my shots were on that final video at ICAST this year. Oh, that's one of the ones that I did. Yeah, so
nice.
You're like, that's me. I
the
did that
pyro stuff. I was super excited. Nobody cared when I said it, but yeah, the Blasters are a great group to work with, and anytime you get to shoot the Tora show for them and do the pyro, I mean, have you guys been? Were you out on the field, like close, that close?
I was
for
not.
The Tora show?
My husband Adam was, and our camera assistant Amy was out there, and they were filming out on the field. I unfortunately did not get to go out there. I mean, I did beforehand, but not while the show was going on.
You definitely need to take care of that and get out there. Like, any opportunity.
I know I need to start abusing my producer power more. Be like, I have to stand here. I'm doing a job.
Producer, I
just
need
make
to
make a big press pat. Right, no, I'm kidding. Yeah. Do not do it. But yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's incredible, the tour show and their timing. And it's wonderful.
Wow, you seem like you've got a lot going on. You must be very busy.
I do stay a little too busy, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
But
is there such a thing?
It's a passion for me. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have all the air shows and all the different venues. Mm-hmm. And I love all of it. Like, I am happiest when I'm out there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I know. I don't do anything with air shows besides go to them, but that's definitely one of my favorite things to do. And my family and our friends who are outside of the aviation community are always like, okay. And I'm like, no, you guys have to go. You'll love it. Cause they all love the Cleveland. Oh, go ahead.
Oh no.
They all love the Cleveland Air Show here. Like, my sister loves the Cleveland Air Show, and we're like, it's so weak. Like, you need to come to Oshkosh with us, which I think I may have convinced her this year to do it, because she was asking at Christmas. She's like, what week is it? I'm like, we already have our house rented, so you have to come. No.
Oshkosh, that's one that you can't oversell.
No.
No.
Definitely not. No. And people who haven't been to it yet, it's like, oh, just come. Just come to Oshkosh. Just.
Yeah.
Understand.
It's the Disneyland of air shows. Because I'm like, you know.
The first time I went. Oh, good.
Oh, sorry. I always refer to it as Disneyland because I'm like, you got Warbird Land and you have Antique Land and Home Build Land.
Everything is.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
And you can't. Yeah. I was so used to people overselling things. Like, everything up to the time I went to Oshkosh, like, everything that people were like, oh, this is going to be incredible. And I was like, okay, yeah, no, it was cool. But they built it up so much everything else in my life that I was like, okay, well, it wasn't what you said, but like, it was cool, whatever. And then I went to Oshkosh and I'm like, nope, you can't oversell this one. Nothing anybody said to me was adequate. This is absolutely incredible.
Yeah. I've kind of become a maniac at Osh lately because we know, because of the work that we do, we meet so many people and everybody's there. So you're just trying to walk down the road and you run into somebody else you haven't seen for a year. And then you talk to them. And then I was like, I've been trying to do this thing where I'm like, I'm not standing here all day and talking to you. I'm like, you're going to come with me so I can see everything. Because I was not seeing everything. And I was getting really mad. I'm like, just walk with me.
It is.
And then you'll run into 400 more people, you know.
I know. Yeah.
It's so much fun, though, to catch up with everybody.
Because
everybody has the same thing in common. And you know, you're all there for the same reasons. And it's like, oh, my God, did you hear about this? And did you hear about that? And it just, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It becomes like a big family reunion that you feel super guilty if you miss. That's why you don't.
Right. Exactly. Do you guys have a booth at Oshkosh?
We do not. For the wing walking, we do not. With the Warbirds, we have planes that we bring up every year. In fact, this coming summer, my squadron will be sending up the B-25, the C-40. That's all we're bringing up.
Oh, nice.
And gosh, I want to say the C-45 is going up as well. So, oh, and the P-39, of course.
And awesome.
Then, and then I do a radio program up there.
Oh, nice.
Oh, you do?
What's your radio? What's the radio program you do?
EAA radio.
Ah, nice.
Oh.
So we go on. Yeah, I do the traffic jam show every day. So I go on the air when the air show itself ends. So I have a captive audience of those that are in their cars.
What do you talk about?
Basically whatever we want to. We just end up rambling, which is totally my style, for 2 hours after the show about things we saw that day. We bring our guests. Yeah. But it's wonderful. I'm kind of just a laugh track. I'm not going to lie.
Oh.
Eric White is the core of that show. I add a few things.
Yeah.
But
you just like pipe up every once in a while.
But we do get to just talk about what we saw that was cool that day. And we're normally broadcast outside in the announcer's tower. So those that couldn't make it to Oshkosh that year can actually hear the airplanes behind us and watch on the live web.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I've never, you know, we've always been on the ground, like running around. I've never tuned into the radio as people are leaving or as the air show's ending, because we're always like, okay, on to the next thing. I'll have to do that. I'll have to tune in.
There's, it's like, it needs to be on longer. The field? I have never stayed on the field. Amy, have you?
After?
Oh, like after the show? Yeah, and we've never camped. I've never camped.
Oh, yeah. No, I've never camped.
Yeah, we always.
Really, that's the way I recommend Oshkosh.
Yeah, I know. I'm just such a. I can't. I need a shower and a real bed.
I have a shower. I don't have a real bed out there.
Yeah, real bed is key.
I camp
me.
Every year out there.
Yeah.
I want to.
Yeah,
I
now the showers are. Yeah, the showers are like salad sprayer. They are actually, you know, your sink where you have the salad sprayer.
Yeah.
That. They're that. So
nice,
but it's a shower.
Yeah.
So. Hey.
Yeah.
Better than nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think and there's something to be said about being woken up with the sound of pizza two horns overhead.
Yeah.
It's just. It is definitely eventually the way to see Oshkosh for sure.
I think if we had a plane, we would probably do that and like put the tent under the wing kind of thing, or you know, like around the airplane. I would totally do that.
Yeah.
Assuming there was a shower and possibly a toilet nearby.
Yeah,
I grew up in Alaska, and we didn't have some plumbing for a while, so I like indoors.
Yeah, like, I am an outdoor girl all day long. Just give me a bed and a shower and walls, and I'm good. Like, I will get as dirty and crazy as you want all day.
Funny.
So Kelly, one of the things that we totally breezed by, and I'm looking at my notes, and I wanted to ask you about was the first time you actually got outside the plane when you were wing walking. What was that like? Were you scared at all, or were you just very focused?
You know, every time I've been, as far as like afraid, it's always stuff that's on the ground, preparation stuff, practice stuff. Once it's time to go, my brain kind of, I don't know how to describe it. And I've always been this way. As far as preparation, I'll get nervous. I'll try to think of a zillion different things that could go wrong, or, you know, as much as I can prepare. And that's when my nerves hit. But once, you know, even as a kid, when I have to give a speech or something, like once it was go time, my brain just kind of like goes cold and fixates on what I'm doing right then. As far as I stop being afraid.
Sure.
And the same goes with wing walking. Once, like the first time I went up, I started in the cockpit and just had to climb up to the top. Once that engine started, any fear that I felt stopped. I just became really, really hyper-focused.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though I'd prepared on the ground, I still wasn't ready for what was about to hit me. As far as the first time I reached my arms up to go, they kept blowing behind me. thought I was ready for that. You can't be ready for that wind blast. There is no mental preparation for that. But once I got past that, I got the adrenaline to go and got up there. On the ground, I thought maybe that very first time I'd want to close my eyes. There was no way I was closing my eyes. The view was incredible. It was the closest thing to actual flying. There is no describing. Now, y'all can actually look. Carol, we did with the National Geographic, it's more than 360 video. They did tons of rows of cameras. It's as only National Geographic can do. And now if you have those ocular goggles, the 3D goggles.
Yeah.
Anyway, they've got loaded on the National Geographic site.
Oh, cool.
The 3D video. So you can actually go wing walking with Third Strike wing walking.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's right. You had that at Oshkosh or at ICAST.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
And you can load that, and it's just like you're there for the climb up, you're there for everything, and you can see the view that we see, and I think that's the only way to fully understand. Just, it is flying for real, because you don't see the airplane so much anymore, like, especially at top. You look down, you see the ground.
That's amazing. That's something I have a hard time with my lessons as well, because I'm learning in a Cessna. in a 152, mm-hmm. and I'm always like, oh, it's so boring. Like, I just, because we've done so many flights and other things, and, like, I love open cockpit planes, so, and, mm-hmm. like, vintage planes, so every time I just keep going, I just want to be, like, in a biplane. Can I fly that? But, yeah, like, I just love that open air and, like, that you're, yeah. like, you're really flying.
The PT-22 is great for that.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In fact, have you read A Gift of Wings by Richard Bach?
No.
It's a compilation of his short stories. So he wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull and The One, and I'm trying to think of other books. But this one's just a compilation of short stories, and there is a lot that he's written on open cockpit biplane, like just flying and the actual spirit of flight.
Oh, really?
If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it.
Okay.
It will make you want to go fly like the second you're finished.
Cool. That'll have to be our book. We usually do every show we do, we have our badass of the month and we have a book that we highlight. So that should be our book, Amy. We will share that on our Facebook page.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
We'll have to I like short stories.
I have time for short
stories.
It makes
it easy.
That's why I like it, because, like, you know, if I'm in between meetings or, mm-hmm. you know, wherever, I can just read a quick story and I feel like I've accomplished something.
Well, and it's the book that I've recommended to every disgruntled or disillusioned, rather, mm-hmm. Pilot that I've ever known. Anytime they're kind of losing their passion for it, I'm like, go read this. It works. It's a wonderful book.
That's cool. Who's the author again?
Richard Bach.
Richard Bach. Cool. I'll have to check that out.
Awesome.
Along with everybody on our Facebook page.
No. Yeah.
Well, I think we're just about out of time. Is there anything else that you want to add about wing walking or any of your experiences with aircraft or like a joke you want to? No.
Only goofy ones that I know. No, I'm looking forward to this season. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody out at the air shows I'm at. And I appreciate everybody. Yeah. Everybody, I've met so many people through this, so I appreciate when people come up to me and I actually get to talk to them about, you know, aviation.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, and having, like, that community that's so accepting and welcoming, and I just love it. Like I said, when we're at Osh, we run into all these people we know, and it's, like, and you said, it's like a family reunion, where you're, like, people are just very welcoming, and it's easy to get into it more, the more people you meet. And certainly during this show and our other work, we meet a lot of different people who do different aspects of aviation. So,
yeah, it truly is one of the most, if not the most welcoming community that I've ever been a part of. And I'm truly grateful. So,
mm-hmm. I have to say that too. You know, you were talking earlier. Apparently we have a few more minutes than I thought. That's why I'm still talking.
Not quite wrapping up.
Not quite. Let's try this again.
Yeah.
But, you know, working with all the World War II veterans at the hangar, you know, they all accepted me right from the start. You know, it helped that my grandfather was a member, but it just, you know, it just was so welcoming and great to be a part of.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a better industry and a better group of people to be around.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And one of the things that I like, Kelly, about you being out there as a more of a public figure, is that the more girls seeing women doing stuff in aviation, the more it grows in the minds of little girls, that they're like, oh, I could totally, like you said, when you were in second grade, you're like, I want to wing walk. But it's like, I think more people, when they see people that are like them doing it, they're like, it clicks in that it's like, I could totally do that. So,
yeah.
I just love.
And there's nothing special about me as far as, like, it is accessible to everyone and the community is welcoming. I was always the super shy nerd that nobody talked to. Like, there is nothing that made me worthy of the position I've been allowed to have. Mm-hmm. I really am. When I say I'm grateful, I'm truly grateful for what I'm allowed to do. Mm-hmm. And so nobody should ever think that any of this is out of their reach. If I can stand for one thing, is to be like, if you want to be in aviation, it is absolutely accessible to you.
And that's like I said, that's one of my big pushes all the time, is to get more girls into science and especially into aviation. And I don't, like, why is that such a big deal to me? It's a huge deal to me. And I think it's because when I was a little girl, I didn't have those examples. And not that, I mean, I guess I didn't, I mean, like, I clearly still like it and I didn't necessarily need it, but I definitely, like, somewhere along the line, I've attached myself to that. And one of the things, like, you mentioned that you love Star Wars, and it's been on my mind a lot this week with Carrie Fisher passing away. Everybody's posting, like, all my female friends are saying how much they loved, they're upset about this because she was such an example of, she was running around with the boys and fighting, you know, the evil empire and be a self-rescuing princess. Which I was like, oh yeah, like, and you don't make those connections when you're a kid, but as an adult, you're like, oh yeah, totally.
Right.
So, I mean, it's subliminal, but girls see that and they realize it. And it's just this, they slow push.
Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned the incorporating the science and getting people mm-hmm. involved through that as well. And I know you meant math. No,
yes. But well, math is a science. It's in the STEM. Yeah.
Math and science go hand in hand. And I know mm-hmm. with the STEM program, I'm also huge involved in that. Like, my school mm-hmm. is a STEM school, and aviation is a direct link with that. And it's a really great way of showing practical applications of mm-hmm. math and science in a cool and exciting way, as opposed to, like, in the classroom with a word problem.
Yeah. So. I think that's important for keeping people engaged, too, especially kids, you know, and little girls, because we're, you know, we're kind of taught, oh, well, you know, don't worry about it, just focus on this. And it's like, no, I want to do this. I want to fly. I want to be a wing walker. I want to be a mechanic. Like,
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I was thinking, you know, I had parents that never told me, hey, yeah, that's not really for you. I mean, my mom's afraid of heights, so, like, wing walking, she wasn't super on board with. But, you know, never once were they like, no, you're a girl, you can't work on airplanes. They were just like, whatever, that's Kelly, let her go.
Yeah.
I feel very much the same way. They're like, oh, look, she's outside. She's running in the rain outside in her dress. Right. Okay, whatever.
Right. Again.
Yeah, heathens. Now, you mentioned, Kelly, your mom. I was sitting here thinking, I was like, oh, my God, my mom panics when I fly. And I was like, I don't know what. I was like, what's your mom think when you're up there walking on the outside of a plane?
Yeah, she was not, neither of my parents were really on board with the idea. Honestly, it wasn't until they talked to Carol. My mother talked to Carol for, like, maybe 30 seconds. It could have been almost a minute. And Carol put her back on the phone with me, and my mom's like, I'm good, we're all good. I don't know what Carol told her.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Yeah, no, up until that point, my mom was like, no, no. Yeah, like, she ignored that I did it. She wouldn't tell anybody that I did it. Like, she, nope. And after that, she started sharing pictures on Facebook, like, hey, look, my daughter's waving to her mom. Like, yeah, she got on board, and it meant the absolute world to me.
Oh, that's awesome.
But, yeah, my mom won't get up on a ladder. So, certainly.
Yeah.
That's actually probably a good place for us to stop. I've just been notified that we are just about out of time. I've been notified. You're like that. I'm like, I'm not going to hide it anymore. Like, I used to be shy about it. I'm like, no, we're out of time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, Kelly, for being on the show. And I think it was, it's going to be a really good one. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll post more information about Kelly and her adventures and all that good stuff on our Facebook page, and which you can check out for more info. It's just Air Raid Radio on Facebook. And thank you to our sponsors, Hemlock Film and Business Solutions. And just a really quick, doing a fundraiser for Sugarloaf 99s from January 13th to 15th. And it's LuLaRoe on my VIP Facebook page for Kara White. So if you want to check that out, and
part of the proceeds go to the 99s, which are awesome. So yeah, thanks for listening, and we will be back again next month. All right, thanks.